Yeah, I dig, brother. It's really out of sight here. Denny and Rain. No buttons to push. All right, now I'd like to dedicate this song to everybody here with hearts, any kind of hearts and ears. Go something like this here. So as I said before, it's really groovy. I'd like to bore you for about 6 or 7 minutes to do a little thing. Yeah. Excuse me for a minute. Just let me play my guitar, all right? Right now, I'm going to do a little thing by Bob Dylan. That's his grandma over there. That's a little thing called Like a Rolling Stone. Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, through the bumps of diamond in your prime. Oh, didn't you? People call, say, but where, doll? You're bound to fall, you thought they all. Well, couldn't you? You used to laugh about it. Everybody that was hanging out. Look at you, but now you don't talk so loud. But now you don't, baby, seem so proud. If I happen to be scrounging, yeah, your name. Lonely, but you know you only used to get juice in the air. Nobody here to taught you how to live on the streets, and now you just gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with the mystery tramp, but now you got to realize he's not selling any alibi. As he stands in the vacuum of his side, and he says, hey baby, would you like to make a drinking, thinking that they got it made. exchanging all precious gifts and things, but you better take your diamond ring. I think you better pawn it, babe. Yes, I know, Mr. Burns, don't worry. You used to be so amused at the pulling and rags and the sweet talk that he used. Go to him now, he calls you. You can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal. How does it feel? Yeah. Oh, how does it feel, baby? Like a rolling stone. Thank you very much.
Jimi Hendrix at Monterey, 1967. Welcome back. It's the Melnick and Murphy podcast from CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
How are you, Shane Murphy?
Oh, baby, I'm feeling groovy.
I'm going to bore you for the next 6 or 7 minutes.
Just want to play my guitar.
That was Jimmy. That was about a year after. 2 years after like a Rolling Stone came out. Rolling Stone came out in 65.
I was about to ask you how quick was
Yeah, it was 2 years.
How quick was he to jump on that?
Well, that's what he did. He did Day Tripper. He did Sunshine of Your Love by
Sgt.
Cream.
Sgt. Pepper's.
He did Sgt. Pepper as soon as it came out. Even before it was released. He was singing that even before it was released, I think.
I guess he had friends in the band. Al, can you bump me up on my voice?
Yeah, and I'm a little echoey.
Me too. I'm echoey. Just well, Mitch
little,
is not echoey, but
echoey. And what episode is this?
17.
17th edition of the Melnick and Murphy podcast. With a huge thank you to Alan Hodgson, CNS Studios, and Lorne Rubin of Paramount Financial Services, who takes good care of your money and is really enjoying listening to these podcasts. He described them as fantastic,
fantastical.
514-905-0885, 514-905-0885. Don't be intimidated. Lorne is an easy dude to talk to, loves his music, loves his comedy, and he's the reason we keep doing this every couple of weeks. Our subject matter this week is covers, if you couldn't figure that out. Why did you pick that one and not the obvious one?
What's the obvious one?
Watchtower.
I guess for me, a younger generation of Hendrix and Dylan fans, for me, when you say All Along the Watchtower, even though it's a Bob Dylan song, I think it's a Jimi Hendrix song.
Even like, Dylan himself has, yeah, he said that's the definitive version.
So, yeah, where like a Rolling Stone feels like a cover. And I remember when I was starting to play professionally, I was at my cousin's basement, and he goes, my cousin Danny gave me my first guitar. He goes, you ever see Hendrix live at Monterey? And I was like, no. And he put the video, he had an old VHS, and he put it on. And I was like, and that's the concert where the Who and Jimi Hendrix Experience were having this big thing, because neither one of them wanted to go on last. And they flipped a coin, apparently. So the story goes, and Jimmy was... So Who beat the shit out of their equipment, and then that's when Jimmy...
Yeah, like, follow this.
Yeah, so Jimmy set his guitar on fire. So
yeah, out of love, though.
Yeah, I'm going to sacrifice something for you right now. And I just remember watching it and being like, this guy's insane. And
humping the speakers.
Making love, Mitch. Yeah. Making sweet love to the Marshall Stacks. For me, it's just... He's my guy. He's my favorite. you know, guitar player. I've said that many times, but yeah, I just love that version.
When you had a chance to play at Club Soda, we did our Bob Dylan 75th tribute for the Andy Besner Foundation, our late buddy Andy Besner, Billy Bob Productions. Were you channeling that version?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the version that I go to. I'm not an acoustic. I mean, I like acoustic guitar, but I'm not a folky in the sense of sit there, finger pick, and blow my harmonica and do the folk song thing. So that's what I gravitated towards, the Hendrix.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to figure out how many covers you do in a year?
It's not something I'd really want to go into.
Well, every working musician does.
I don't mean talking about it. I'm just saying my own. Yeah, I was doing a grinder shift last night, as we call it in the biz. The money makers, the gas money gig, and some woman was like, "You're gonna play what I want you to play, Freebird," and she wasn't joking.
Oh, seriously?
No sense of irony, and I was just like, "Wow." And I was like, "Well," and then I did the opening figure of Sweet Home Alabama for about 30 seconds, and she was happy. And she had another white wine spritzer, and I moved.
I remember
along.
About 10 years ago, I was with a couple of dear friends, and we were at O'Regan's. It was Jerry O'Regan's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the person I was, the third person I was with that night kept asking you to play One Bourbon, One Scotch, and One Beer. Do you remember that?
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Well, I don't remember that particular instance, but if it brings up a collection of, I'm going to go into PTSD here. I feel like I'm in therapy. So how many times do you play Brown Eyed Girl, and how does it make you feel on the inside? I don't know. I mean, I'm lucky in the sense that I think that I do songs that are important to me, and songs that are so well written that they bear being played over and over, you know, like Bill Withers and Sly and the Family Stone and James Brown and Hendrix, and I fortunate enough to make my living when I'm doing bar gigs that I can do that stuff, and I don't really have to do those other songs like Wagon Wheel and Chicken Fried, Fell Beer on a Friday Night. And now the new one is Tennessee Whiskey, Chris Stapleton. Everybody wants to do that, and I'm not.
Chris Stapleton's really good.
Fantastic singer.
He really is good.
Fantastic singer, but everybody's just
right.
Falling in love with that song, and I just tell him, I'm like, it's too vocally challenging for me, because he does all the runs.
How do you decide which songs you're gonna add or try to? By the way, Hendrix's greatest cover was probably the anthem. Right? Star Spangled Banner?
Sure.
Woodstock? That was a cover.
Yep. Sure.
But how do you decide which songs you're going to start throwing into your repertoire of other people?
A song has really got to jump out at me and be in my head, and like it's just this emotional, visceral response that takes me, because I play music all the time. I'm playing guitar, I don't know, 20 hours a week, or that's a lot of stage time, and so it's, I love it, but it's also my job. But so when I hear a song and I have that feeling that takes me back to when I was like a teenager, like, if you know, 13, 14, and you hear those songs, that all music was like that for me when I was 13, 14. Any song, I would just hear a song and be like, oh, this is amazing, or that song's amazing, when you start really discovering music, you know. So it's when I get that teenager-like feeling in my body that I know that this is a song that I should...
A teenager-like feeling in your body?
No, don't make it dirty, Mitch. Jesus.
Well, I'm just anticipating when people are listening, when they're listening, they're thinking the same thing.
Not necessarily.
What is the teenage reaction in your body that isn't sexual?
How long has it been since your last confession, Mr. Murphy?
It's been 3 weeks, Father. Have you had any wayward thoughts? There's this one girl I saw at the dance, and she made me feel tingly.
All right, now go and say 20 Hail Marys, and I absolve you of all your sins. No, it's just that other side. I think music is the yin and yang. If one thing is sex, music is the other. It's the flip side. You know, music can give you that same type of satisfaction that sex does, or having sexual attractions for someone, except it's just more nebulous. It's more, can't put your finger on it. But when you hear those songs, that you're like, get your motor running, you know?
Get your motor running.
Head on down the highway.
Looking for adventure.
Whatever comes our way. So yeah. So I remember my buddy.
Did you do that song?
No.
Why not?
Did I do it?
No, that wouldn't be a bad song to do.
Yes, it would be.
No, I don't think, no.
Well, why are you telling me? Yes, it would be.
But when you, like, how much of yourself?
Done.
No, but that's the whole, isn't that a challenge? Take a song that everybody knows.
Well, you asking
some
me?
Some people, I'm asking you.
Are you telling me?
No, I would like to hear you play it.
Alan, do you have a light?
I would like to hear you play that Born to Be
it's
Wild.
It's been done to death.
No,
there's
I know.
No reason.
But isn't there a challenge to be able to cover a song that's been done to death, but put your own spin on it? Even if you fail, you've tried to do something, you've tried to find something in the song that maybe nobody else has tackled.
Impossible.
It's impossible?
Impossible.
Why?
Because it's like it's a great song. It obviously is such a shelf life. It's a special tune. But there are certain songs, after you have so many purple hearts, it's like, let the song rest. The song, it's done its duty. Medal of Honor, 25 Purple Hearts, it's just like, let it go. And there's no spin I can do. A salsa virgin, the salsa virgins, like a salsa version. Yeah, I could do a salsa version of it. You could do a jazz version of it. You could do a country version of it. It's done to death. It's over.
I remember when I saw Springsteen
giving me PTSD
solo at Place des Arts, and I was sitting in like the second to last row at Place des Arts, because it sold out like in 10 minutes, and people were yelling at him from the audience, you know, to do his most popular songs. And this was a tour that he wanted to go inside himself, and he did Born in the USA that most people had never heard before, and he slowed it down. The original version of Born in the USA he recorded, I think, as part of his Nebraska sessions, which are stripped down and nothing else on a home recording machine. And it was a shock. And there were a lot of people at Place des Arts that night who weren't sure whether they liked it or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What did they expect?
That's his song. So I'm just saying, do you feel like you defer to, in this case, it would be John Kay, who wrote that song, that it's just such a staple that it doesn't, nobody should go near it and try to put their own version on it?
No, but people did, and it's such a iconic song that you can't. It's part of people's subconscious.
What do you do that's part of your regular set that is a cover that is a little bit of a different spin to the original song?
Well, people would say every song I do that way. I try to flip, but different. That's a good question.
You want to think about it some more while we hear our next song?
That's where the experience of a veteran broadcaster comes in here. I'm treading water. Yeah, sure. Let's do it. I'll think about it.
Okay. So you were very much a part of the one of the great nights of music in Montreal over the last little while was the Last Waltz 40th Anniversary Celebration. Billy Bob Productions at the Corona Theater, November 25th. 2016, and Leonard Cohen had just died about two or three weeks earlier, and we wanted to do something, but we weren't sure what. And Andrea Ramelo from Toronto, who's part of the a duo called Scarlet Jane, we brought Andrea in, and she said, "Do you mind if I do a Leonard Cohen song?" And I said, "Well, you know, I was thinking of doing something to with, you know, 1,000 people in there who are mostly Montrealers to pay tribute to Leonard, and I was trying to figure out what to do, but that would be cool. What were you thinking of?" And she said, you know, I feel very close to him. I used to stay at his house in Montreal because she knew Adam Cohen. And I was thinking of, hey, that's no way to say goodbye. And maybe I could work on this with Gavin Gardner of the Wooden Sky, because they were coming in from Toronto as well.
Yeah.
And with very little rehearsal, they did it. And I remember this amazing violin solo by Edwin Huizenga of the Wooden Sky. It was just an incredible moment. It was the end of the night. People were leaving, and they stopped in their tracks, and they were shushing people so they could hear this version. It was just so raw. And that spawned something, because Andrea has just released a brand new album of nothing but Leonard Cohen covers called Homage. And this is one of them. My Oh My.
Wasn't hard to love you, I didn't have to try. Wasn't hard to love you, didn't have to try. Held you for a little while. My, oh my, oh my. Held you for a little while. My, oh my, oh my. Station. Never asked you why. I drove you to the station. I never asked you why. I held you for a little while. My, oh my, oh my. I held you for a little while. My, oh my. Catch your eye. Held you for a little while. My, oh my, oh my. Held you for a little while. My, oh my, oh my. To try, held you for a little while. My, oh my, oh my. Held you for a little while. My, oh my.
From an album that is just out called Homage, a tribute to Leonard Cohen, Andrea Ramelow. My Oh My originally appeared on Leonard Cohen's album from 2014 called Popular Problems. The album, much like her last album, Nuda, is produced by Michael Timmins of the Cowboy Junkies. And Andrea Romolo, man, she is like sultry and sensuous and so, so cool. And because she's got an album out and we've had a working relationship with her through Billy Bob Productions, she's going to be playing. This is the first time we're going to Casa del Popolo.
Mm.
Tell us about Casa del Popolo.
It's, I don't know if we would consider it Mile End or is it just on the main?
Plateau Mile End.
Plateau. It's on. It's on. It's deep down in the heart of Hipsterville. There's gonna be a lot of tight jeans, a lot of Blundstones, probably.
And you know what's really cool about this? It's like, I don't know, 5 minute, 10 minute walk from where Leonard Cohen lived.
Yeah, Saint Dominique.
Yeah. 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 I don't think the address is actually Saint Dominique, but it's Saint Dominique. Yeah.
No, Cass is. I mean, now legendary spot. So many great Montreal bands have gotten their start there. It's a intimate room. I think you can get it's 100 people, but we're going to do a semi-cabaret.
Yeah, style. So it's going to be less. There aren't that many tickets available. If you go to the Casa website or Andrea's website, there'll be a link and you can get tickets, but there aren't that many available, frankly. It's maybe 30 by the time you hear this. And it's on Saturday night, November the 10th, and a good friend of yours, Bud Rice.
Bud Rice.
Will be opening up.
The Bud one, yeah. He's going to do... going to do an acoustic solo set and very hardworking musician.
And Andrea will be
upstanding
there.
Upstanding young man.
With her trio and her baritone guitar. And she's, how would you describe her live?
Magnetic.
Magnetic, that's a good one. A lot of charisma. You got a chance again to back her up, to play behind her when she... performed Dusty Springfield and Janis Joplin tributes at the Southern Soul and Rock and Roll Review.
No, she's great. She's great. You on stage, you don't want to take your eyes off her.
Yeah,
you're focused.
So, did you have time to think about my previous question?
I did. I don't really have an answer. I would say if people don't one song that they don't recognize, and then after the fact, I guess would be "Use Me" by Bill Withers, because then I go into Rick James' "Mary Jane." I don't know.
But you do that a lot with a lot of different songs. You kind of turn.
People have cell phones. They're bored. People have, you know what I mean? They have the world at their fingertips.
No, but you do like medleys of different.
I used to do it like, more. I was really bad when I was a kid. I was like in my early 20s. I would just roll one into the other because I was, I would be getting these gigs and I wouldn't have time to learn full songs. So I'd get like a verse, and not very studious really. And so I'd get like a verse, and maybe a chorus, but I wouldn't know any of the other verses or the bridge. And then I started putting things together musically in my head, and then I would just roll one into the other. But
What was the last song of somebody else's that you added to your set? Do you know?
Yep. She's Always in My Hair, which is the B-side to Raspberry Beret and D'Angelo.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, have you heard that song?
Yeah.
She's Always in My Hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just put that one in.
And how long does it take you to learn a song and then... And then decide, okay, I'm ready to play this in public.
Hearing the song, it's giving me that teenagery feeling down below. And then I say, okay. And then see if it's a match vocally for my range and stuff like that. And then the words, you know, if it's a Bob Dylan song, I tend to shy away from those because he's very wordy. And
You have something in common with Otis Redding then.
Yeah, take maybe an afternoon. And then the boys are freaks. That way, I can just play it for them. We play through it once or twice, and they have it. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. Marky and Tony. Oh yeah, yeah. Freaks. Annoying, actually. Annoying.
Well, they can pick it up faster than you.
Yeah, we have people smarter in your band than you are, more nimbly witted. It's annoying, you know. Like the punches, the stops, all the yeah, they just.
We're talking about cover songs on the on episode 16 of the Melnick and Murphy podcast. Thank you for sticking around with us and at CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
It's our first podcast since our very special tribute to Brian Smith.
May he rest in peace. Yeah.
And that was an emotional wallop, and I thank you for your considerable feedback. I know it was therapeutic for the boys a few weeks ago when we sat here and did it.
And it was the night of his life celebration. We were, I was in Trois-Rivières doing, playing with a friend of mine doing a Bob Marley legalization thing. And yeah, it was sucky because they were all, it just happened to be three drummers in the band. Marky was playing keyboards. My buddy Steph was playing drums and Tony was on bass. And they had known Brian very well. And Steph actually worked with Brian for a long time.
It was at Val de Nuit on Prince Arthur, and there was, unfortunately for me, there was a hockey game that night. But there are people my age, maybe a little bit younger, when I say Val de Nuit, they have this certain image of what it was back in the day. It's completely different now. It's been classied up.
Oh, really? Eh?
Oh, yeah. It's a much different club than it was back in the day when Prince Arthur became that pedestrian mall initially. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much different. It's much classier. It's a great spot. I can see why Brian liked it so much. Mm-hmm. But again, thank you very much for your feedback. And so we're talking covers, it's not just songs that were covered by other artists. I also wanted to touch on a couple of songs that were written. The original writer of the song is not known as the person to make the song famous. And this past week, we're recording this on Friday, October the 26th at CNS Studios. And Tony Joe White passed away this week.
Claremont Cafe, Mike McKell.
Go ahead.
Poke Salad
Annie. Another one, huh?
Poke Salad Annie.
Man, did you learn a lot. Did you see John Prine on Austin City Limits?
I did not.
A couple weeks ago?
I did not.
Fantastic. Just fantastic. Another dude into his 70s. I just find it very inspiring. But Tony Joe White had never stopped recording. He put out albums every year. He was like swamp rock, southern rock, folk, soul. And people know his songs mostly through Elvis.
Who was a big fan, yeah.
Poke Salad Annie was a staple of any Elvis live show. And Brooke Benton's big hit, Rainy Night in Georgia.
See, I never thought I would never. You said that before the podcast. I was like, Tony Joe White wrote Rainy Night in Georgia.
And so many others. Here's a couple of Tony Joe White originals.
Hovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night. Heavy rain are falling, seems I hear your voice calling, it's alright. A rainy night in Georgia, a rainy night in Georgia, oh, leave it's raining all over the world. Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night. The distant moaning of a train seems to play a sad refrain to the night. A rainy night in Georgia. It's such a rainy night in Georgia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world. How many times I've wondered, it still comes out the same. Find me a place in a boxcar, so I take out my guitar to
pass some time. Late at night when it's hard to rest, I hold your picture to my chest and I'm alright. I rained a night in Georgia. Lord, it's such a rainy night in Georgia. It's raining.
Came up from Corpus Christi. Now some of y'all are still ain't never been down south. I'm gonna tell you about it one more time so that you understand what we're talking about. Now down there we got a plant. Looks something like a turnip green, except it ain't, cause everybody calls it poke salad. That's poke salad. Now I used to know a girl lived down there. She'd go out in Enon's and pick her a little bit of it, carry it home and cook it for supper. And if she had any left over, she'd hang it out on the clothesline and dry it out and smoke it. But she did all right, y'all. I said, down in Louisiana, where the alligator grows so mean, they lived a girl that'll swear to the world, made the alligator look tame. Oak salad and oak salad and everybody said it was a shame, cause her mama was working on a chain gang, a mean, vicious woman. Supper time, go down by the truck patch, pick her miserable salad, carry it home in a tow sack. Oak salad, Annie, the gator got your granny. Chomp, chomp. Everybody said it was a shame, cause her mama was a working on a chain gang, a wretched, spiteful, great razor-toned woman. Yeah.
me a mess of it. Suck a little. Suck a little. Suck a little. Suck a little. Pork salad. Got your only friend.
Yeah, the late Tony Joe White on Austin City Limits performing his best-known song, and before that, Rainy Night in Georgia. I could just you can't help but hear Elvis, right?
Yeah,
that was one of the highlights of every one of Elvis's live shows, and he'd go into the karate moves. And
hey, Elvis, we got to win that race. We got to win that race. Elvis, you want some lemonade? Lemonade, a cool, refreshing drink.
Elvis, I don't think he ever wrote a song.
I think he wrote Love Me, well, no, I was about to say Love Me Tender, but he didn't. But the Colonel made sure that they got their piece. Yeah,
if you want. Colonel liked to gamble a little bit.
Yeah.
By the way,
really, is that
they're going to announce, by the time most people hear this podcast, the National Hockey League will have announced that it's okay to gamble on their games. How about that?
Are you a betting man?
No.
Casinos?
No.
Blackjack?
I have, you know, the first time I went to Atlantic City, there's a good cover.
Levon Helm.
Yeah. Do you do the Springsteen or do you do the band version or do you do somebody else's version? You used to do Atlantic City. Quite. I loved your version of Atlantic City.
I do.
Loved it.
A melange. I do. It's Springsteen's version, but with drums and bass. So does that make
sense? What a great song, huh?
Yeah. And whenever, it's funny when people, when I play that song and people don't, they're not. How can I be kind in saying this? They're not music aficionados. The first line is, well, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night.
Right.
So people hear that, and it just sounds like an odd line, and it's sort of, you know, somber acoustic tune in a minor key, and you start playing, you know, well, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night, and people will start giggling. But they don't realize that it's a story about extortion and mobsters and a guy being in debt. And anyways, yeah.
Great movie, too. Do you ever see the movie with Susan Sarandon and Burt? I think that might have been Burt Lancaster's last major role.
What movie?
The movie Atlantic City. It was directed by Louis Malle.
Hello.
Yeah, no. You've never saw that?
No.
And one of the opening scenes is Susan Sarandon rubbing, I don't know if it's oranges or lemons, into her breasts on screen.
I like how you say breasts.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, that's a great movie.
I remember my mom and dad went to see White Palace with Susan Sarandon and James Spader. And it's like,
I don't know that movie.
Yeah, Susan. Apparently there's like this heavy-duty sex scene. And my mom was like, well, I don't know what that movie was all about. She had her showing her wares everywhere. I was like, okay, marking that one down. White Palace. There we go.
Yeah, I don't gamble, Shane. But when I went to Atlantic City for the first time, I did play a little blackjack. But I don't. My dad gambled money away. You know,
okay.
So I stay away from that.
I just find it so boring. Like, I walk into a casino. Remember, I went to my buddy's stag in Niagara Falls.
There's a big casino there. Yeah,
yeah. There's somewhere I'm never going to go again. And
yeah, tacky, huh?
I remember. I was just like, we went to the Outback Steakhouse to get something to eat. We sat down and it was like
the Outback. Just don't order the onion loaf and forget everything else.
And everything was like $30, and it was like a cafeteria. There was like stains on the wall. You weren't sure what kind of stains they were. You know, you had a blue light, little CSI action to see if that's like what bodily fluid that is. just gross. And I walked in, and then we went to the dirtiest strip bar I've ever been to, in Niagara Falls. And, you know, people got to make a living, but and I'm not going to mention the name of the place. You ever seen the movie Dusk Till Dawn? You know when they all turn into vampires at night?
No.
It's George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino and Selma Hayek's there with the boat. Anyways, I walk in, and it's a stag, and everybody's pretty loose. And this stripper comes up behind me, and she's got to be 6'1". And in heels, she's like 6'3". Broad-shouldered. Come to think of it, maybe I was in the wrong place. Anyways, so she comes up behind me, and I remember she put her arms around me from behind and, like, was cradling me. So I'm the small spoon, she's the big spoon, and she licked my earlobe. And she said, back room, $100, whatever you want. And I was like, oh, please just direct me to the Purell dispenser. Are my hepatitis B shots up to date? I'm feeling a little grungy here.
Yeah, people are still getting married in Niagara Falls, huh?
People still getting married.
Yeah,
go figure.
Yep. So Atlantic City, actually, that's a reminder that Tommy Youngstein is coming back.
Yeah, November 30th.
Friday, November 30th at the Fairmount Theater. Yep. Actually, what it is our first annual, I hope it'll be an annual thing. That's the plan. Our first annual Billy Bob Productions Christmas party. We're planning to do this last December.
We are?
Yeah.
I didn't get the memo.
Well, you're getting it now.
Okay.
We were planning to do this last December.
That's how you know you're a junior member in a corporation. You find out during the podcast, by the way, the Christmas party. Can I come to the Christmas party too, Mitch?
Well, I hope you'll be there that night. I know Friday night's a gig night for you.
No, I'm going to come.
I hope so. Yeah. And we were doing this a year ago, and then Tom Petty died. So we decided to kind of shift gears, and it's one of the things that Alan Snoddy, ex-Stars guitarist, who fronts Tommy Youngstein. You know all the people in Tommy Youngstein, right?
Most of them, yeah.
Josh Traeger, drummer for Sam Roberts.
And Josh, Graham.
Graham Playford.
Yeah. Jeff Heichholt plays great keyboard.
The Trues.
Yeah, I played with him a bunch when I was living in Toronto.
There are people from Serena Ryder's band and the Stills. Yeah. Whenever they play Montreal, they pick up usually Tim Fletcher and...
Greg?
Craig Paquette.
Greg?
Of the Stills.
Paquette, yeah.
Formerly
great
of the Stills.
Guitar player.
Which is really interesting. We could see three members of the Stills that night since Oliver Crow, the bass player, is one of the owners of the Fairmount Theater.
Get him on stage for a reunion.
I've been trying. It's not happening. Those three guys all get along, but I don't think a Stills reunion is happening yet.
Wait. Process of elimination. Those three guys get along really well.
Well, you know, Liam O'Neill... Is basically a member of Kings of Leon now,
yeah,
and has been for a few years. And Dave Hamlin is a producer. He produced
the
last couple of Tragically Hip albums.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So this is on Friday night, November the 30th. It's a Christmas party. They're going to be performing the very best of Bruce Springsteen for a couple of hours, plus an added bonus of a Motown Christmas tribute. And warming things up will be Bilal Butt of Shome. With a big band of his own, including a horn section. He's going to play more classics.
Cool.
And...
Horn section?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tickets are $25, but when you come to Fairmount Theater for our Christmas party on November 30th, the first beer is on us. We're taking care of the first beer. So, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's the second memo you just got.
All right. We're taking care of the first round.
If you're throwing a Christmas party, you got to do something.
And I like how you tell me here during the podcast that I've got two bands with horn sections, and I thought Bilal's coming with a three-piece. Like, he's got a horn section and a string section, too. See at the sound check. See at the sound check, Shane. You got that, right? You can talk to the technical director.
Okay, it's fine. Bilal's big band. Do you remember, who was it? Lyle Lovett.
Sure.
Lyle Lovett and his big band. So Bilal is, it's Bilal's spin on Lyle Lovett and his big band, but a little raunchier, I think. Friday, November 30th, we're up to see all their tickets available at the box office.
You can have my horse,
and
but
online
don't touch
at theaterfairmount.ca. You don't do a Lyle Lovett song, do you?
No.
Who's the most unusual artist that you cover that people would think, Shane Murphy? How does Shane Murphy come to this artist?
Most unusual artist that I cover? Probably Madonna. And I grew up... One of my first cassettes I ever had was Like a Virgin. I'm not kidding. And I'm a big Madonna fan. I think she's put out some amazing songs. And so I remember I was 22, and I was still a virgin. And so I got that cassette, and I said I should.
Did you expect us to believe that?
What? I was saving myself for the right person for a long time.
For let me see if I can remember her name.
Eunice Delvecchio.
Delvecchio, yeah.
Yeah.
So when I was 26, the time was right. Yeah, so I do Like a Virgin.
I've never heard you play
and you
Like
probably
a Virgin.
Never, well, it usually takes a few.
So that's usually
few,
the last
set. Bracers.
Do you do that in the last set, honestly?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I've never heard you do that.
No.
I'd love to hear you
do that. I got a lot of tricks. Not my first rodeo. I've been around.
So while we were discussing what cover songs to play here and which artists to focus on, Shane said, how about we each pick a bad cover? And since I don't want to play two bad songs back to back, I'm just going to defer to you.
Okay, well, Alan, who's manning the wheels of steel right now in the producer's box, and I are both huge Prince fans. So whenever
I'm a big Prince fan. I took you to his concert.
You did. And I tell that story with affection often. Blew my mind. Watching your face when he went into When Doves Cry was and looking around and seeing how stunned people were. And I remember my hands were on top of my head because I didn't know what to do. Anyway, so this is, I think it's the bass player and the guitar player from Metallica. I think it's Robert. Is it Robert or Randy Allen? Robert. Robert Trujillo. Pardon me if I'm
wrong. Oh, yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
He was a fantastic bass player. And Kirk Hammett, and I mean this in the best possible way, they had this idea that they should do a guitar bass version of When Doves Cry. And I forget who sent it to me. And I was like, holy shit. Like, what were you? Well, whatever. I mean, maybe somebody will listen to it on the podcast and be like, I don't know what he's talking about. But for me, it's special. So this is, and they're doing it in like Minneapolis or somewhere in a big arena. Like you can see it on YouTube.
So in Prince's home state.
I think so. I could be wrong. But and you see how big the arena is. And it's just those two on stage. And, well, here we go, Alan. Roll it.
If you will, the picture when I engage in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, darling, can you picture the if you can, the foyer, an ocean of violets and blue.
Okay, Alan, I'm throwing in the towel.
They meant well.
I'm throwing in the towel. Cut it. No. Alan, no mas. I'm throwing in the towel. No, come on.
Yes. I was going to play a William Shatner song.
No, William Shatner's good.
Well, kind of. Compared to that.
No, I mean, you might not like his vocal stylings, but I mean, when he's done recordings, they're like serious musicians backing him up. Like, it's not a joke. Like, they're serious guys that are backing him up, and you may not like his crooning style, but anyway, so was I wrong?
No, that's.
I mean,
that was
all
bad.
All much respect to Metallica.
Yeah, of course,
But you always need that guy.
Ill-advised.
You need that guy in the crew. That's how you know there's too many yes men in your crew. When you're standing there backstage and you say, you know what, me and you should go do a live. We should go do a version of When Doves Cry, and nobody says anything. They're like, yeah, you guys are amazing. It's gonna be amazing. Go do it. And then
they're playing it at soundcheck, and somebody's going, they're not really going to do this, are they?
Yeah, no. Oh, it's amazing. No. It's really good. I mean, it's a little bit more edgy than the regular Prince version, but you guys really pull it off. It's really good.
All right, so let's get this out of our system. Can we go to Nirvana? Nirvana Unplugged, and their nod to the late, great David Bowie.
¶¶ died alone a long, long time ago. Oh no, not me. We never lost control. The face to face of the man who sold the world.
From Nirvana Unplugged, The Man Who Sold the World, covering David Bowie on the Melnick and Murphy podcast, episode 16. We're in the home stretch from CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
Something else we're going to do, I don't know, in our next one or at some point, is our favorite live recordings of all time. And certainly Nirvana Unplugged is...
Did you get into them right away?
No. Not at all. No. No, it was... Actually, it was a Montreal musician who's gained some fame and notoriety as a writer and documentary filmmaker, Ian Halpern, who saw me on the street, and I played a lot of music on the when I was at CIQC 600 radio. We played a lot of music and a lot of Dylan, and I was force feeding my sports audience.
As opposed to now, you're not still force feeding?
They're
like geese at a foie gras factory. Every time I turn it on, it's at a new from bootleg volume 7.
Yeah, I don't
Bob
play
Dylan Bearcat Blues.
I don't play nearly as much as I used to. We actually had a Dylan Day every Thursday where every segment started and ended with a Dylan tune. Ian said, "Do you not like Nirvana?" And I said, "Ian, I got a daughter." You know, I go from my show to the Olympic Stadium to cover an Expos game.
And my angst years are over.
I'm aware of Nirvana, and I know people who swear by Nirvana, he said, "Listen to Unplugged, and if you don't get into Unplugged, I'll be shocked." And he was 100% right. Tremendous, just tremendous.
Yeah. Well, Neverman came out. I was like, everybody's freaking out. I was like, But I was in Hendrix, which is a different vibe. But I remember when that record came out. And then he also does a version. They also do a version of In the Pines.
Oh, that's the closer,
Lead
right?
Belly.
Unbelievable version. And how intense that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, do you have a favorite all-time cover?
Oh, you're hitting me with all the hard questions. My favorite all-time cover for me to play?
I guess, or, I guess probably, or to listen to?
I would say probably Bring It On Home to Me that I play.
Oh, that's so good.
My mom loves that song, so like every time she's like, you know, the words to that song, they're just, I really like it when you do that song. And so whenever I play it, yeah. And that's, and that reminds me of like when I was playing with my cousins, and I spoke of Emmett before. He passed away, and I remember being in the basement and those jams that were so, what's the word, so important to me as a young musician, not so much in terms of like learning licks and all that stuff, but the type of stuff that my cousins listen to, you know, like the Stones and the Animals. So they're playing this song, and I'm like, who does that song? You know, because I just, you know, if you ever change your mind about leaving me behind, I'm like, it's simple, but it's clever.
Oh, it's a great
and
song.
And Sam Cooke, lyrically, it's all very simple turns of phrase, but very, very well written at the same time, which I think is a mark of a great song. So they turned me on to the Animals version of Bring It On Home to Me, and then I got into Sam Cooke heavy, and through listening to the Animals. So yeah, probably Bring It On Home to Me.
It's funny because I actually heard the Van Morrison version from a live album of his before I ever heard the Animals version in the early 70s.
See, I didn't know he did a version.
Van Morrison, yeah. No. On It's Too Late to Stop Now. Again, okay. One of the great, we'll do it in a future podcast, one of the great live albums ever, recorded in, I think, the Troubadour in L.A. or Santa Monica, somewhere there. But
what about Van the Man at the Last Waltz wearing that purple sparkle? he had that, like, Robin Williams, Mork from Ork, yeah. Low cut.
That was the last time. Can you imagine if he tried to get...
doing the karate kicks? Tearing it up! There we go! Gypsy roll!
Thanks again to Lorne Rubin of Paramount Financial Services. Many of you have seen the commercial of the couple or the man or the woman in the office and wondering, getting advice from the financial advisor, and they're not comfortable getting their advice, and they're saying, geez, maybe this is good for you but not for us. That's when, if you relate to that, then you should be giving Lorne a call at Paramount Financial Services, because he really is a mensch and very, very easy to deal with, and he will take good care of your money no matter how volatile the markets may be. 514-905-0885, 514-905-0885 for Lorne Rubin at Paramount Financial Services. You know, Billy Bob Productions, again, not to tell the whole story, but we were kind of born as a result of a beautiful artist from... originally from Oklahoma, spent a lot of time in Austin, Texas, named Jimmy LaFave. And I remember the first time I heard him cover, which was a pop hit in the late 60s by a group called the Wee Five called Walk Away Renee. It was actually the Left Bank. The Left Bank, I think, was their name. And for him to turn that pop hit into what you're about to hear, and Jimmy did appear on Austin City Limits back in the 90s, did a whole set. I want you to listen to Jimmy LaFave, the late, great Jimmy LaFave, one of the great voices I've ever heard, cover Walk Away Renee.
Here's one of my most requested songs here that's been real good to us in places like New Zealand and all over the world. And it's, of course, my version of an old classic 60s tune. One way, a lot I used to pass by every day, just to walk away,
darker, not the same. But you were not to blame. Your name and mine, shadow hard deep on a wall, still finds a way to haunt me, baby. The world is so small, just a wall.
Late Jimmy LaFave on Austin City Limits. It's the remaining moments of the Melnick and Murphy podcast at CNS Studios in Western NDG. Jimmy did covered Dylan better than anybody. He covered Van Morrison, Neil Young, and he wrote his own songs. He's just a brilliant performer. And the reason Billy Bob Productions exists. What are you working on?
What do you mean?
What are you working on? Like
it's
your
a big
own
question?
Your own, yeah, you put your own. Like what? Do you have any? Any product?
Any product?
Any product down any coming around the corner at
any,
all?
Any products back there? Any products for something? You can say the same products. Yeah, I'm working working on some stuff. Working on an album, full length.
Full length album.
Full length. Yeah, I'll probably be released in spring
2028. Bust, you're working on it now. It'll be out in 2028.
No, yeah. I released an album in 2012,
yeah,
and then I released an EP in 2016.
2 years ago,
yeah, Turbo House, Staying in the Saddle for Rosie,
right,
And now, yeah, I got a couple of singles. I got a couple of singles that I'm going to release shortly. One by Jim Reeves. I'm not going to say what song it is. But that one's been good to go. I'm just trying to figure out a good...
Well, talk about covers. I mean, that's to me, that's as good as any cover of a pop hit. I mean, your version of that classic, He'll Have to Go, is right up there with what we just heard.
Thank you. Yeah, Johnny Griffin on backup vocals. Was kind enough, and yeah. So now I'm back in. I'm in the studio. I'm either gigging or in the studio or trying to do Pilates. You know, I'm a big Pilates guy. And yeah, so probably spring 2019. That's the go date.
The launch date?
No, well, I'm going to release it, and I'm probably going to have a launch celebrating the 10-year release of Street Money Miracle at the Corona. In October, which would be about a year from now, because we released in October 2009, so I'm probably going to do a live DVD thing. That's the plan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm letting you know.
Well, now I'm getting the memo.
I'm letting you know. Hey. Okay.
Street Money Miracle.
Hey.
It's about time you did an updated version of Street Money Miracle, the way it should sound.
Oh, what is that supposed to mean?
Well,
you didn't like the way it sounded?
It was a good album, but it was not you. It's not what you sound like. So yeah, I'm confident that what you sound like is going to be represented by the 10th anniversary release of Street Money Miracle.
Backhanded compliment. Doesn't sound like you would sound, but yeah, how you sound
Yeah,
now.
But I told you that when it came out.
Okay.
I told you that. But anyway, it's a whole long story. But that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. And you know who's producing it? You know who's producing the show?
Billy Bob Productions.
Yeah. You are. That's right.
Thanks for the memo.
All right.
I hope you enjoyed our 16th episode of the Melnick and Murphy podcast from CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
Thank you to Alan Hodgson. And a reminder again, Andrea Ramelow with her band and Bud Rice opening up. There are a few tickets available for Saturday night, November the 10th. It's our first venture into Casa del Popolo. And she'll be performing in support of her brand new album, Homage, which is a tribute. It's a full album of Leonard Cohen covers, just a few blocks from where Leonard lived. And Tommy Youngstein, our first annual Billy Bob Productions Christmas party on Friday night, November the 30th at the Fairmont Theater. It's going to be a gas. Please tell your friends about it. And again, as soon as you walk in, you get a ticket for a free beer. That's a Billy Bob Productions Christmas party. We like to have fun.
You just got the memo.
And very much looking forward to that. A whole night of the best of Bruce Springsteen. It's an old school Friday night dance party. You rock until your socks
roll down.
Yeah, you got to take them off because you sweat right through your socks.
I'm wearing sock suspenders to that show. So my socks won't fall down.
But you're not even, you don't wear socks.
I do wear socks.
No, you wear, what do you call those? The mini socks?
Yeah, sockettes.
Sockettes, yeah. Yes. It's Shane Murphy and the Sockettes coming soon to a rock and roll club near you. I want to go out with Miley Cyrus. Okay, I was telling friends of mine about Miley Cyrus and what kind of singer she was, and people were making jokes, right?
Yeah, because they don't know, but it's they get caught up in the celebrity hype and the wrecking ball and what she looked like
on Saturday Night Live and all of that. She has an amazing voice.
Great singer. Great version of Jolene on. I know it's not the song you're going to do.
No, because I think most people have heard that or they should check it out. This is also from the Backyard Sessions by Miley Cyrus. And somewhat ironically and fitting, I think she's covering a Jeff Buckley tune, who probably has... is responsible for the definitive cover version of Hallelujah, which even Leonard himself said, enough already, please stop.
Yeah.
We don't need another version of Hallelujah. Jeff Buckley's version is so incredible from the album Grace. This is Miley Cyrus, and we got a surprise after Miley Cyrus to finish up. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great week.
I lost myself on a cool, damp night. Gave myself in that misty light. Was hypnotized by a strange delight. Under a lilac tree, I made wine from the lilac tree. Put my heart in its recipe. makes me see what I want to see and be who I want to be. When I think more than I ought to think and do things I never should do, I drink much more than I ought to drink because it brings me back you. Lilac wine is sweet and heady, like my love. Lilac wine, I she coming near here. Lilac wine is sweet and heady. Where's my
together, try to love one another. the song I sing, you will understand. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. Come on, people now, smile on each other, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Come on, people now, smile on each other, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Come on, people now, sister and brother, everybody get together. Try to love one another.